God is good
all the time.
Before we go any further, I'd like for us to spend some time in prayer for specific individuals in our church. And as we do that, how many of you are carrying some sorrow today for some reason or another? Okay? Okay, several of you are. It was hard. It's kind of weighty. And I'd like to pray for you. As a matter of fact, won't you hold your hands up again? I'm going to ask people just to come around you and pray for you. As we do that, we've got a couple in the back. Paul and Taze in the back. Paul lost his mom yesterday. And so you pray for Miss Beverly. Pray for her. If you would pray for Miss Cheryl, that would be great. Alan, why don't you pray for both of them? Taze, here, right behind you. Sit between Paul and Taze and Teresa, okay? Not everybody knows Taze and Teresa. They were here last week, and so, if you don't mind praying for them. Miss Peggy was diagnosed with some blood clots on her lungs this last week, and she has some enlarged lymph nodes, which is an indication of acute infection, possible cancer, and so I'm praying for her. Dear Lord Jesus, you said that you were a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Lord, you know what it feels like to have sorrow in your heart. Lord, I know that you are experiencing, you're feeling, you're embracing the sorrow of ones in this congregation even now. Lord, there's some things that are outside our control. There's some things that as we go through this life, it burdens us, overwhelms us, and oftentimes makes us stumble or hinders our walk with you. And God, we don't want that to happen. We won't ask you, Father, just to intervene and intercede for these individuals today. Those who are carrying this heavy load, Lord, we lift them up and bring them to you. Lord, you say we need to sorrow over sin in our lives, and we need to be sorrowful for those things that hinder our relationship with you. And so, Lord, if that's the case this morning, I pray, God, that you would bring each one back into a healthy relationship with you. Lord, we want to trade our sorrows for your joy. We want to trade our sorrows for a garment of praise. We want to trade our sorrows for the joy of the Lord. So, Lord, we ask you right now just to fill this place with your presence. And, Lord, that you would give peace to every one of these individuals who are going through these difficult times in their life right now. And so, Lord, we offer them up to you and thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' holy name. You know, there's probably no better place to be when you're hurting than at church. Probably no better place to be when you're going through difficult times than with people who love you. And so thank you for not staying at home today. And thank you for allowing us to pray for you. I oftentimes feel what other people are going through, and sometimes I don't know where it's coming from, but I'm not able to preach very well until that is taken care of. And so I was stumbling earlier, and I thought, when I was doing the announcements and things, and it's like, man, something's going on here. And so anyway, God has some marvelous things in store for each of you. And as we walk in His presence, as we walk in His will, He begins to release those things to us. Today we're going to be talking about spiritual leaders or spiritual fathers. Today is Father's Day. And we just happen to be in a particular place in Hebrews that's talking about spiritual leaders in our lives. There was in the foyer of the church, a certain church had put up pictures of servicemen and women who had died in combat and given their lives for the country. And one young boy was in the foyer and he was looking. He said, "Pastor, what are all of these pictures?" And the pastor said, "Well, son, that's pictures of individuals who've died in the service." And the little boy looked up and said, "Is that the first service or the second service?" I hope nobody dies in our service today. We're looking at, as we've been looking at Hebrews, we talked about in Hebrews chapter 13 where we're supposed to, our attitude, our love, how we're supposed to love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. We've talked about how we're supposed to love our neighbors, strangers that come into our midst. We talked about how we're supposed to love hurting people. We've also talked about that we're supposed to love our spouse and our family. And we talked about last week what we're not supposed to love. Do you remember what that was? Money. Love God and not money. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Love God and not money." Not money. Scripture says that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so you can tell where a person's heart is by where their treasure is. And what they spend their money on. You can tell where their heart is. Today, we're going to talk about how to respond, or what is your attitude toward your spiritual leaders. That's in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. We're going to read verse 7 and then skip over to verse 17 and 18 of Hebrews 13 because it kind of has the same idea, the same connotation, as we read these. So let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. It says, "Remember your leaders who taught you the Word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow their example of their faith." And then verse 17 and 18 says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a good conscience, desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things." As we go to as we begin this morning, I saw my wife earlier. Is she still in here? Okay. That's all right. I was going to have her pray for me. Would you please, honey?
Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. As I read these passages of Scripture, it's a reminder to me of my responsibility as a pastor of this congregation. And I don't take that responsibility lightly. It's a very, very weighty thing for me. And as we read through this, I'm just going to share with you some of the responsibilities that a spiritual leader has for the congregation. One of the things that we're looking at is it says that we are to, as spiritual leaders, we are to teach the Word of God. We're to teach the Word of God. As we teach the Word of God, I have heard of churches who don't really get into the Word of God, but I don't know what else you teach other than the Word of God. I don't know what to do other than that. I guess we could read good stories or whatever, but it really doesn't apply to us. It doesn't affect us the way the Word of God does. There were periods during Israel's history where there was a famine of the Word of God. And no one, can we just stop again? I'm really having a difficult time, and we need to stop again. Okay? Jake, would you pray for me and pray for, if you sense something going on in the congregation or something, would you just pray against that? Because we're having a spiritual battle today. And it should not, we don't have to live there, okay? Yeah, right. Jesus.
The Spirit of the Lord is there is freedom.
Yes,
Lord God, give us the freedom to hear now. Give us fast breath, freedom to preach the way you want. Lord, in Jesus, let all glory and honor be given to you. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, any spirits or not of you have to flee out this day.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. All right, we'll try again. There's a tremendous responsibility upon the spiritual leaders. This is a little uncomfortable for me to preach because because not only is there my own responsibilities, but it's also there's a responsibleness that you have toward those who are teaching you the Word of God. And so as we look at this, I pray that you don't close your ears to what the Lord has to say to you this morning. In the time of Israel, there was a time when there was a famine of the Word of God, and people did what was right in their own eyes rather than doing what God would have them do, rather than them following instruction. They had no instruction. And so as a teacher or as a preacher, we have several teachers in our church, several preachers. As a teacher and a preacher, we have a responsibility to teach the Word of God to those who are under our tutelage. And if we don't do that, then there is some harsh consequences that can come our way when we don't do that. And we teach other things, rather we teach what we want to teach rather than what God would have us teach. Or we teach what people want to hear rather than what God wants them to hear. And so there's some tremendous consequences, and I never want to fall into that. So as we look at these passages today, one of the things that we find out that sometimes God appoints people to do the work of the ministry. But then there are other times when people appoint themselves or when mama appoints them. It can be God anointed or mama appointed. But they never really accept or embrace what God has given to them. And so as a pastor, one of my greatest responsibility is to teach the Word of God. Jesus, when he was here, he taught the truth, and he taught it with grace. And that is my prayer for myself, that I teach truth, and I do it with grace. Another thing we find in this passage of Scripture is that we're to watch over others. My responsibility as a leader in the church is to watch over the souls of you. It's my responsibility. And did you know that I'm going to be held accountable if I don't do that? That's a scary thing. So if I come up to you and I approach you and I say, you know what, can we just sit down and talk? I've got some things that are on my heart I need to share with you. Then please be open to that, because I'm not here to try to make you feel less than you are. I'm here to help you grow in your spiritual walk with the Lord. Like a shepherd watches over his sheep. Spiritual leaders are watching, they're looking, they're seeing what it is. If you are tripping up, then I need to know what's going on in your life so that I can help you get back on track. Okay? There's a lot of things that take place in our lives, sometimes physically, sometimes financially, sometimes spiritually, and sometimes it can be addressed with the Word of God. And so as we look at the Word of God, we can begin to address those issues in your life. If you are beginning to stumble and fall, wouldn't it be nice if somebody would catch you and pick you up? That's our responsibility. So, Larry, how much attention do you give to your chickens? A lot of attention. Too much. He gives too much attention to his chicken. So you know when they're sick. You know how much food they need. You know how much water they need. And you're always looking over them to make sure that they are the best that they can be. Larry loves his chickens. He loves his chickens. And he ought to. They're a gift from God. And he ought to love them. And so because he loves them, he's looking out for them and watching over them and trying to keep the critters out of the cages and doing everything he can to scare eagles off and other things. Okay? Because he does not want his chickens to be harmed. And that's the way a pastor is with his congregation. He does not want his congregation to be harmed. And so he's watching over them and he's caring about them. So, questions I have is, as a pastor, are there strongholds in the life of one of my congregants? Is there a stronghold in the life of a person? And if so, what can I do to help them break that stronghold? The first one I put up is, am I doing anything that would cause someone to stumble in their walk with Christ? If I am, then I need to quit doing it and start doing the proper thing so that they can follow me and be able to grow in their relationship with Christ, grow in their maturity. Now, I'm not saying I'm perfect. There's a lot of things I get wrong. But hopefully when I do, I apologize and make it better and not do it again. A third thing we need to decide are you making Spirit-led decisions? And I look at that, decisions you make, I'm thinking, Lord, is that a Spirit-led decision? Or is that a decision out of the flesh? Is that going to benefit them? Or is that going to create problems in their lives? And I don't know all the decisions you make. I know some of the decisions you make, and so as you share with me some decisions you're making, I'm praying with you. Pastor, would you pray about this with me? Yes. And so we pray together, and hopefully you'll be able to make decisions that are based on the Spirit of God and not upon your own flesh. We are to,
just a second.
There is a warning for those who... I skipped a page. One of the things we find out in regards to this... So why is it important to keep watch? Why is it important to me to keep watch? One of the reasons is that I will give, and I've shared this already, I will give an account to God. He will hold me accountable for how well I am being the pastor of this church. The second thing is that we're going to be held at a different or a higher standard. James 3:1 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly." How many of you want to be a teacher? Not many of you should be teachers in the church, because those who are will be judged more strictly. I believe, perhaps, God has called some people to be teachers and preachers that are not that have risen to that yet. And part of it, reason is, I don't want to make a mistake. God is not going to hold you accountable for making a mistake. He will hold you accountable, though, for not following His Word and for not teaching His Word. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. And so as you and as leaders of this church rise to that position where they are teaching others, they need to understand that they need to read God's Word, understand God's Word, and be able to present God's Word in a way that it won't cause problems for other people. Another thing is that Satan is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so I'm watching over you, and I'm watching to see if there has been some spiritual activity in your life so that there can be a prayer to release you from that. I talked to someone this morning and said, I'd like to get with you. So I don't know, sometimes our physical problems are related to a spiritual attack. And I said, I want to get with you because I want to find out, I want to seek the Lord with you to find out if you're under a spiritual attack so that we can combat that. And it may be, and I wonder sometimes when the doctors can't find out what the problem is, they can't discover through any test or anything, I don't know what's going on, but there's something going on with you and we don't understand it. I wonder sometimes if that's not a spiritual attack. And so, as a pastor, I want to make sure that you are protected and that there's not has it not been an opening for the enemy to come in and attack you spiritually. Does that make sense? Because sometimes it's the enemy who's had an open door that's we've given him to attack us physically. The third thing that a pastor is responsible for is to equip the saints for works of service. So here's the thing. We are here to help you learn how to help others in their spiritual growth. Using your spiritual gifts and your spiritual talents, one of the things the Lord has given us as responsibility is to help you learn how you're supposed to serve others. In Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 16, it says, and he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as teachers, some as pastors for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking of the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body or the building up of itself. So in this passage of Scripture, not only does it tell us that we're to equip the saints, but it also tells us that we're to encourage one another into spiritual maturity. I am in Ephesians chapter 4, it says that he gave some as apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to help you become who you need to be. And so that's one of my responsibilities. You know, there's great rewards for work well done. But there's also warnings for those who don't do it right. And so I take those warnings very seriously as I read God's Word, and so should you. So what are the responsibility of members? Number one, it says that you are to remember your leaders who taught you the Word of God. So why don't I ask you a question? Do you remember the person who first shared Christ with you? Do you remember the person who shared Christ with you and you received Christ because they shared Christ with you? Do you remember who that person was? Billy Graham for you. He says, remember those people. He also says, do you recall any spiritual leaders who has been instrumental in your spiritual growth? Do you remember them? Do you remember them? It's important that you remember them. You don't have to answer out loud, but who is it? Who is it that has been instrumental in your spiritual growth? You need to remember, because in remembering, you may be able to retain some of the things they did, and utilize that for your own faith building. The second thing that it says that we are responsible for as members is to think of the good that has been accomplished in your life because of their instruction, their counsel, and their encouragement that you received from them. So how has your life been different because of the care and concern they had for you? Sometimes they cared enough to share the tough things. So how has your life been made different because of the care and the time they spent with you? Has it made any difference in your life? So the third thing we find out is that we're to follow their example of faith. Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." So we're to learn from them. So you don't come to church just to make yourself feel better. Okay? Don't go to church just because it's the religious thing to do. Just because it's the tradition on Sunday. So why do you think you need to go to church? Okay, build others up. Time to worship. Also, we go to church to learn instruction, to apply it to our lives. Scripture says, follow my example. So, these individuals that made an impression on you spiritually, what is it about their lives that you would like to be able to pass on to someone else? Okay? Love for us, even in the hard times. Godly example. Yeah. Patience. So what is it? So that what he's telling us to do is to think about the leaders, what they imparted to you, and then what you can impart to someone else. Then we come to the word obey. Obey your spiritual leaders. They have responsibility for you. If I saw one of my sheep biting other sheep, I would tell that sheep, knock it off. Okay? Because I have a responsibility to all the sheep, not just the one sheep. And so, if I see a sheep hurting another sheep, I'm going to address that situation because I don't want my sheep hurt. Okay? And if that makes the bad sheep mad, oh well. I was pastoring a church, the first church I was pastoring. It was a difficult church, not like you guys. It was a difficult church. and it was one of the churches, it was a church where the culture was not as Christian as it ought to be. And I got into the church and found out a lot of stuff. Anyway, a young man was approached about becoming a youth leader. And helping with the youth in the church. And so he came to me after he was approached. He said, "Pastor Brad, you may not want me to be the youth leader. I said, why not? He said, because I'm living with my fiance. I thought, well, that's a pretty good reason. I told him, I want you to go home and I want you to read 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And after you read about the first 10 verses, I want you to come back and I want you to tell me what you feel like the Lord would have you do. And so after a few days, he comes back and he says, Pastor Brad, I don't think the Lord wants me to be the youth leader. And I said, I think you understood correctly. And we were able to have a good fellowship, even though he was not accepted as youth leader. We still had a good relationship. He didn't come to church anymore. And the deacons were really upset at me because he wasn't the youth leader. Said I was running people off. But see, I have a responsibility for the sheep. I have responsibility for who I allow to be in leadership positions. And so looking at that, it's very important, and I'm not trying to be a general sergeant at arms and command you to do or what not to do, but I am concerned about your spiritual well-being. As a member of the church, Scripture tells us that we're to submit to our spiritual leaders because they're watching over your soul. Now, if you have a spiritual leader who cares about you, who loves you, who is teaching the Word of God to you, who's helping you and Spirit-led and trying to help you mature in Christ, wouldn't it be wise just to be submissive to what they tell you to do? Wouldn't that be wise? And a lot of people have a rebellious nature, and they just don't want to do that. Okay? I want to do my own thing. There's some people you just can't seem to tell anything. They're just going to do what they want to do, no matter what. The instruction here is that we're to submit to our spiritual leaders because they're watching over your soul. Now, in saying that, there are those individuals who have been placed in leadership position who are there for other reasons other than because they were called by God, and they have their own agenda in place. And I would say if that has been, and some of you here may have been hurt at church. Some of you maybe have quit going to church for a while because of injury that a spiritual leader has caused in your life. I would just suggest to you that perhaps that you forgive them. And you find a place where the leadership has a loving attitude, cares for you, and teaches the Word of God. Submit to those who have been placed as your spiritual leader. And then the last thing is, pray for your spiritual leaders. The writer of Hebrews said, pray for me that I may conduct myself in a way that's honorable in all things. And if I had a request for myself, that would be my request, that in everything that I may be honorable. In everything that I do. Today, if you're carrying some pain of the past, maybe in churches that have hurt you, then the invitation is, would you release them to the Lord? Would you forgive them? And ask the Lord to forgive you for holding this hurt and anger in your life. maybe you've been in churches in the past where the truth was not taught explicitly. And you need to forgive them. And embrace not what someone has twisted the Word of God to say, but actually what the Word of God says. And perhaps you've never heard that it's only through Jesus Christ that one receives eternal salvation. Maybe you've been in a church where they've said there's many ways to heaven. But Scripture says there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. And so as we enter our time of invitation, I'm going to ask that you respond to what God would have you say and do. Father, I come before you today.